Good morning. Our text this morning begins in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus introduces himself to Laodicea as the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. We're reminded of how John describes Jesus as the Word in John chapter 1, in his introduction to his gospel, and how he tells us that Jesus was there in the beginning with God, that everything was made through him. And John tells us later in that introduction that he says, no one has seen God, but that Jesus has revealed him to us. That in other words, it is part of Jesus' job to reveal things. That he knows things as they really are. He knows the Father as he really is because he has been with the Father from the beginning. And he knows everything else as it really is because he created everything. And so we see Jesus throughout John's gospel in that process of revealing truths to people, both about the Father and about themselves. And he does likewise with Laodicea. He bears witness to who they are, as opposed to who they think they are. He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There's not a whole lot that you can say about Laodicea, and that's kind of the problem. This is the last of the seven letters to the seven churches. So we've seen all of the other churches, and we've seen that they are all over the spectrum. We've seen places that are on fire for the Lord, like Philadelphia and Smyrna. And we'll talk about them a little more in just a minute. But we've also seen places that are just complete messes, like Pergamum and Thyatira, that, you know, they've got some good things to their names, but they tolerate false doctrine that leads to false practices, specifically sexual immorality, things that should just be obvious to them and that they should have dealt with already. And Jesus has to call them out on it. Now, I want you to notice here, you know, it's obvious that Laodicea should be more like Philadelphia or more like Smyrna. But Jesus doesn't just say, I would that you were hot. He says, I'd rather you even be cold. Right? I'd rather you were cold or hot. Anything would be better than what you are now. I find that interesting that it would be better for Laodicea, even for them to be Pergamum or Thyatira. At least there's an easily identifiable problem that you can set your finger on, and that has a simple solution. It's not a complex problem, right? Now, that doesn't mean that it's easy, right? If you've ever been in a church that has had to deal with sexual sin like what was going on at Pergamum or Thyatira. You know that sometimes it can get messy and it can be difficult, but it's not complex in most cases. It's usually, you know, did this thing happen or did it not? And will this person repent of it or will this person not repent of it? And the church's response is to receive the one who repents and to disfellowship the one who doesn't, ultimately. I mean, the whole process, again, if you boil it down, is relatively simple. It can be difficult, it can be hard, but it's not complex. It's something, again, you can put your finger on, and it's an easily identifiable problem. What is the problem in Laodicea? Jesus doesn't point to anything specifically that they have done. But again, that's the problem. He can't point to anything specifically that they have done, good or bad. In the other churches, we have read about them standing up the persecution. We've read about them witnessing to the name of Jesus Christ. We have read about them doing all kinds of things. Again, both good and bad. In Laodicea, we don't read about anything. And again, these are churches all in the same region. A region that we know is just rife with persecution, that is full of opportunities to bear witness, that is full of opportunities to do the work of the church. And we don't read of any of that going on. And because we don't read of anything bad going on, well, look at the opinion that Laodicea has of itself. Jesus says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing." Laodicea is apparently aware that they have not done anything wrong, and they think that that is sufficient. It's difficult to pinpoint exactly what's going on in the mind of the church in Laodicea. But I think we can get a good idea based on our own experience. The church at Laodicea reads to me like some Christians and some churches that I have known. Christians and churches that have mistaken respectability for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They think that they are rich, that they have prospered, that they need nothing, and they don't know what's really going on. Christians and churches for whom righteousness looks like, well, I don't smoke or chew tobacco, and I don't drink, I don't even go within 50 feet of alcohol, let alone walk into a bar. And I certainly don't talk to the wrong kinds of people, right? And you can define that just about any way you want, right? People who always keep their grass cut and their houses picked up, who are always put together and punctual. People who think that their garments are clean when it's actually just their noses that are clean. And by the way, I'm not saying anything bad about cutting your grass. I'm just saying that's not the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Right? And I think we know the kind of person that I'm talking about who thinks, yeah, I am a good, solid, upstanding Christian because I do these things. Not because you could actually, you know, pick them out and say, yeah, that person does the works of Jesus Christ. This person is different from the world. This person witnesses to the name. Because they have replaced the righteousness of Jesus Christ with respectability. And so they think they are rich. They think they have prospered. They think that they need nothing. Jesus tells Laodicea otherwise. Because Jesus is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. He knows Laodicea as it really is because he made them. And he is going to tell them exactly what they are, as opposed to what they think they are. He says, "You don't realize that actually you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Consider this. Laodicea has ignored one of the central themes of the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus declares that the world's way of looking at things, the hierarchies that the world sets up, are flipped on their heads. Jesus says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Those who think that they are well off and in a good position are actually, they're actually this close to death. And those that from the world's perspective look like they're complete losers, those are actually the ones that are going to be great in the kingdom of God. Right, and that's encapsulated in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says. In Matthew's account, in Luke's account, he just says, blessed are the poor. Those who are, again, at the bottom rungs, who are losers from the world's perspective, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Laodicea apparently has missed that message, because they think that they are rich, that they are in need of nothing. And Jesus says, no. Being at the top of that totem pole puts you at the bottom in the kingdom. But not all is lost for Laodicea. Even for Laodicea, there is hope. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus opens that invitation to them. Even though they have apparently just completely ignored the gospel in this regard, Jesus says there is hope for them if they will repent. Jesus holds out to them his righteousness, which consists of bearing up under persecution, bearing witness to his name, doing the work of the church. He says, buy my gold refined by fire. All of that is available to them if they will be zealous and repent. I want us to notice a contrast between Laodicea and some of the other churches. In fact, look at Philadelphia real quick. We looked at them last week. Now, Laodicea thinks that it is rich when actually it is poor. You look at Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. All right, Laodicea is the opposite of Philadelphia in this regard. Philadelphia is following that gospel pattern. They're on the bottom rung from the world's perspective. And Jesus says, because you have kept my word and not denied my name, all of these promises are open to you, right, that we talked about last week. And I want us to pay special attention to Smyrna, because as we read, I want us to go back and reread what Jesus says to Smyrna real quick. And as you look at what Jesus says to Smyrna, we're going to see that Smyrna and Laodicea are like negative images of each other. Go back to chapter 2, verse 9. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, Jesus says. The slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Smyrna is the negative image of Laodicea. They are poor in the world's eyes, but in the eyes of Jesus Christ, they are rich. They have endured. They have done the work. And Jesus just encourages them to remain faithful. I want you to look at what Jesus promises them. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He promises Smyrna, if you be faithful, and you will reign with me in heaven. You will be kings. Now go back to Laodicea. This is the astounding nature of the good news. That even though Laodicea, at the point in which Jesus is writing to them, is the polar opposite of Smyrna. He says this in chapter 3, verse 21. The one who conquers, that is, if Laodicea gets straightened out, if they stop being milquetoast, just plain respectable, this is the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. In other words, he extends exactly the same promise to Laodicea as he extends to Smyrna. Get right and you will reign with me in heaven as kings. But that is the call. It is open to everybody. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me. It is open to everybody. Smyrna has the advantage of having opened that door already, of having obeyed already. And Jesus tells them, persist in that and you'll be kings with me. But he extends to Laodicea that same opportunity. Open that door. Become like Smyrna. And you too will reign with me. It hardly seems fair, doesn't it? But that's another part of the gospel message. You remember the parable of the laborers. How some were hired early in the morning and some in the late morning, some in the early afternoon, some in the early evening right before work was about to quit, and they all got paid the same wage. And you remember the ones that got hired in the morning complained about it. Right, and the moral of that parable is, again, that God offers the same reward to all who are faithful to him. Just as Jesus has extended to Laodicea, and just as he extends to us. The call this morning is for us to be zealous and to repent, to not fall into this trap of thinking that if we keep our noses clean, our garments are clean, into thinking that if we are respectable by the world's standards, that we are respectable by Christ's standards. So we call everyone to repentance. If you're with us this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, we likewise call you to repent. Turn away from your sin. Confess Jesus is Lord and be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for cleansing from your sins. And live this life of righteousness that we've been talking about so that you too can have a crown and a place on the throne. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?